Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, I was kidding 5 minutes ago, Ray, when I said that we'll see what President Trump does in the next 5 minutes. We were talking about Donald Trump. His tweet this morning was that if Mexico is unwilling to pay for the badly needed wall, then it would be better to cancel the upcoming meeting. He was referring to a meeting that's upcoming between him and the president of Mexico. The gentleman's name is, what's his name, Ray? Do you know?
Oh,
Mexican president.
Peña Nieto.
P-E-N-A, and his last name is N-I-E-T-O.
That's his two last names.
Well, you know what just happened in the last 5 minutes?
He canceled the meeting.
Donald Trump didn't cancel it.
No, the Mexican president.
The Mexican president.
Go to somebody. Yeah, somebody. Brent said it was under drudge, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all over. Yeah, it's all over Twitter. He's not coming now.
He's not coming now.
He is not coming.
Can I predict something?
Please do.
Trump is going to tweet out soon, maybe today, that the wall just got a foot higher. Just like he did in the primary when he said when one of the former president of Mexico tweeted out obscenities or foul language at Trump when he was a candidate. And then Trump went out and said, well, the wall just got a foot higher.
Right. There's humor in this, obviously, but the seriousness of it is this. This is the point Donald Trump was making in his tweet. Not only do we want to control our borders, but here's what, Ray, and here's what his beef is. Besides just people flooding into this country and we don't know who they are and they're just going all over the place and we can't keep track of them. They're not citizens. They're here illegally. He says, does Donald Trump, that the U.S. has a $60 billion trade deficit with Mexico. He says it's been a one-sided deal from the beginning of NAFTA with massive numbers of jobs and companies lost. So he's wanting to even the playing field, according to him.
You know, thinking about this, and Steve, let me ask you your opinion on what I'm about to say. If I were an advisor to the Mexican president, which I certainly am not, I would say this is a big mistake. Mr. President, you need to go to Washington, because one thing we know about Trump is he's a deal maker, right? He loves to make deals. There would never be a better time to plead Mexico's case than to go to the White House and meet with the president in person. This only hardens things, whereas if he was in D.C., who knows what would happen, but I think you got to be at the table to make a deal. So I'm sorry that he's not coming.
Steve Jordahl from American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Steve, that question that's Ray from Dallas.
Hey, Ray.
That was intended for you.
Yeah. You know, Ray, they do politics down in Mexico, too. And Mr. Nieto is not that well-standing in the polls, I understand. And there's quite a bit of anti-American sentiment down there right now, given all of Mr. Trump's tweets and his policies that he's putting out. So he's probably playing to his base, or at least his country.
Right.
I agree with you. The country would be probably better served if he were to come and see what kind of a deal he could make with him. But it's the reality down there is he's needing the bump in the polls.
Who, Mr.
Mr. Nieto?
Ends up looking like he stands up to Donald Trump, so to speak. So he looks good in Mexico.
Yeah.
But this just guarantees that the wall is going to get built even quicker.
Yeah. You know, this reminds me, this is precede your time, Walker, you're 23. Mm-hmm. But if I throw this name out there, anybody over 40 is probably going to remember it, maybe 45. Ross Perot.
Right.
Yeah.
Ross Perot was a Texas billionaire businessman. He was the Texas version of Donald Trump, basically, in terms of his sort of larger-than-life personality, very flamboyant, very matter-of-fact, and very outspoken. He ran for president twice, Ross Perot. Got a substantial vote, 10% one time, I think. In fact, he cost George Bush, George H. W. Let's see, the George Bush number one. He cost him the election, I'm convinced. And Bill Clinton won with like 45% of the vote because Ross Perot took points away from percentage votes away from.
He actually got 19%.
Well, he got 19 the first go around.
Mm-hmm. Right, first go around in 1992.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but what Ross Perot, one of his big deals at the time was against NAFTA,
right,
the North American Free Trade Agreement. Mm-hmm. And you remember the expression that Ross Perot used to use in his Texas draw? He'd go on Larry King. He'd say, "Larry, Larry." And he'd say, "What about NAFTA, Ross?" And he'd say, "Larry, let me tell you something. You're gonna hear a giant sucking sound of jobs going to Mexico." You remember him saying that, Ray?
I do. And that's a pretty good imitation of how he sounded.
A giant sucking sound. That's what, Larry, that's what you're going to hear right there, because our jobs are going to go down to Mexico. That's what he said. And I guess, according to Donald Trump's way of thinking and the numbers that he would put forth, the $60 billion trade deficit, then I guess Ross Perot was a prophet in that way. But, you know, I guess we'll see what happens with this. But President Trump ran on when his signature issue was build a wall, control our border. Yesterday he said, without a border, you don't have a country. So this is going to happen. And if the Mexican government doesn't want to cooperate, I don't know, you know, I don't know exactly where we go from here. We'll see. But the president of Mexico, who was supposed to come to Washington, has now said he's not coming to Washington. Was that next week, Ray? Yeah. Was that?
I don't,
Steve,
I'm not
you
even
know?
Sure. Yeah, it was soon, and he was going to meet with Mr. Trudeau of Canada at the same time. I don't know if that's still on or not, but
yeah. All right, today's issues is the name of the show you're listening to, the program here on American Family Radio. Today's issues. We are live streaming on Facebook, so if you want to check out our Facebook page for today's issues, we welcome you to do that. Walker, what stories have you posted on our Facebook page today?
All right. Well, I posted the breaking news, which is Vice President Pence will speak at the March for Life tomorrow, which is historical, honestly. I also posted the article earlier that we talked about waterboarding and Trump's comments on his willingness or his willingness to not waterboard.
Okay. You're listening to today's issues on AFR. Again, thank you for listening. Steve Jordahl from American Family News and One News Now is with us. Ray Pritchard is co-hosting with me from Dallas. Steve, what else you got?
Top of the page right now at onenewsnow.com. You can read a great article by our Chad Groening about potential voter fraud. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation say they have, the Heritage Foundation that is, hundreds of examples documented of voter fraud in this country. So you can do that. We also are keeping track of the confirmations of Trump's cabinet and staff going on. There are four confirmations to date. The Senate
confirmation votes, you mean?
Whole Senate votes.
Okay.
The Senate committees are off on Fridays, but as of right now, Generals Mattis at Defense and Kelly at Homeland Security have been voted in by the Senate. Nikki Haley for the UN has been voted in by the entire Senate, and Mike Pompeo at the CIA has been voted in by the whole Senate. You can go take a look at all of that.
Now, those were already done, but you're saying today?
Nothing today. And they're
so
probably
going to go the
be.
Week. They're going to go the weekend and not vote on.
I don't know if
these
they.
Cabinet.
I know that they have Saturday stuff. All I do know, and I don't know what's on the Senate schedule today as far as the whole Senate. I don't know that any other nominee has gotten out of committee, which would have.
Well,
to
the
happen.
Republicans are in the retreat up in Philadelphia,
right.
So I don't think anything's going to happen on confirmation until next week. Steve, are any of the nominees in serious trouble at this point, or do we think they're all going to eventually pass through?
They will all pass through simply because the Democrats do not have the numbers to stop them. And at this point, even though some reluctantly, every Republican is falling in line. So you're going to hear a lot of blather and bluster from our Democrat friends. But
no.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Steve, you think?
I'm pretty sure. But they're not going to be able to stop any of them.
Blather and bluster.
Blather and bluster.
I haven't heard blather in a while. That was pretty cool. It sounded like a group, though, a country group.
The Blathers?
The Blather and Busters. Next up, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, the good thing is, though, is that Senate leadership has come out and said that they are willing, when it comes to the Supreme Court nomination, which will occur next week, that they are willing to use a nuclear option.
Yeah.
Which means a
Senate
simple,
Republicans.
A simple majority, which is good.
Yeah. Ray, you were going to say something.
Well, in, back on the cabinet, I was just looking at a couple of these, like Scott Pruitt and Betsy DeVos. Scott Pruitt's for EPA and Betsy DeVos for education. In the end, Steve, we think, and those are two of the more ones the Democrats are discussing, but we even think those two are going to go through also, right?
Right. Again, the Republicans seem to be falling in line. I know that sometimes people like John McCain and sometimes Mr. Rubio step out a little bit in the hearings and make a show or actually do have some serious questions for these. But so far, and I think when it comes to at least Mr. Trump's cabinet and his personal, the people that are going to help him run the government, no Republican is going to step out of line and cause a division there. So I think they're safe.
Well, by this time next week, they need to have confirmed all of them.
Or that is the other thing. The Democrats could slow this down an awful lot.
I don't know the point of wanting to make Mr. Trump, President Trump, angry at you any more than he already is with the Democrats. So, I mean, I don't – here's the part of it I don't understand, the strategical thinking such that it is with Democrats. Why do you want to slow down – the inevitable, just to anger Republicans and particularly President Trump?
Right.
I could maybe understand if there was a chance that you could stop a nominee or two for some particular reason, but the Republicans have a 52-48 margin, albeit that's not very much, but it's still four in the Senate. They're going to get these cabinet appointees passed when they come up for a vote. So you're only delaying the inevitable and at the same time creating more ill will with the new president and the new administration. And, you know, President Trump does not he is known for retribution, if you can believe that. he will respond in a way if he thinks they continue on with these delays, Walker.
Yeah, their main battle, the toughest battle, I would say, in over a decade, is going to come when he appoints his Supreme Court nominee, which especially if they're largely pro-life and pro-religious.
Oh, they're going to be pro-life.
Yeah.
They're going to be.
And so that, if I were the Democrats, then I would save all my political capital for that fight. Because right now they're fighting this, they're fighting that, and they're going to have to soon add the Supreme Court nomination to a fight. And I think they're they're wasting resources on fighting cabinet appointments.
Mm. Hey, I want to play a clip that Steve has here about relative to the pro-life issue and Donald Trump, our new president. You want to set this up for us, Ray? I mean, excuse me.
Go ahead, Ray.
Steve? Well, Steve, you're the one who brought the clip, so I'll let you do that. Go ahead.
Mr. Trump granted an interview to ABC News' David Muir the other day, and in this clip, Mr. Muir starts with a question about the Women's March on Washington and asks whether the president heard at all any of the protests. And Mr. Trump kind of turns the table on them a little bit and takes them to task. We can listen to this and comment on it here.
While we're standing outside, could you hear the voices from the Women's March here in Washington? We know there were more than 1 million people who turned out, and you are their president now, too.
That's true.
Could you hear them from the White House?
No, I couldn't hear them. But the crowds were large. But you're going to have a large crowd on Friday, too, which is mostly pro-life people. You're going to have a lot of people coming on Friday. And I will say this, and I didn't realize this, but I was told, you will have a very large crowd of people. I don't know, as large or larger. Some people said it's going to be larger. Pro-life people. And they say the press doesn't cover them.
I don't want to compare crowd sizes
again.
No,
you shouldn't. But let me just tell you, what they do say is that the press doesn't cover them.
We saw.
Yep.
Well, I have one comment real quick. What baffles me is that the media brings up, they throw out these numbers. There were over 1 million people.
That's
here.
Not true.
But when President Trump brings up his numbers, they say, well, I don't want to discuss numbers. Well, you're the one who brought up the first number in the first place.
Right. The National Park Service in Washington, who They're the ones who give permits for these rallies and such. They quit giving estimates of crowd size 10, 20 years ago because they didn't want to be drawn into the politics of who's got the larger crowds for whatever event. But I know the Promise Keepers rally in Washington is the if you look at the aerial photos, is the largest convening of any particular group ever that I've seen in Washington. That, you remember that rally on the mall?
Hey, I was there.
Oh, when was that? Was that 97?
97, right. I mean, upwards of 700,000, 800,000, 900,000. I mean, it was packed. There was no room anywhere.
All the way from the Capitol to the Lincoln Memorial, true?
That's right. All the way.
There was no room. And you can see the aerial photos. It was wall to wall men from across America there for that event. So, you know, but the real thing is, the point of playing that clip, I think, is that President Trump said he's listening. He's listening to pro-life people. He has not always been pro-life. He's a pro-life convert. Mm-hmm. But he knows enough to say, you know, the media mistreats the pro-life community, and you're probably not going to – he's challenging this ABC reporter. You're probably not going to cover the pro-life event. I wish, instead of covering the exact numbers, I don't know – who knows what will be there at the pro-life – March for Life tomorrow in Washington. They've had whether it be 100,000, 200,000. The main thing is not the number. The main thing is, although you want a good representation, you want is the message that's being conveyed, and the message that's being conveyed by the Trump administration, from the president to the vice president to his top assistant Kellyanne Conway, is that we are a pro-life organization. We are a pro-life administration, and we're going to promote pro-life values, including the Supreme Court nominee, which will be announced a week from today.
Yeah, and I can guarantee you that you will not be hearing any expletives or gross references from the stage pro-life, as you did the other march at the March for Life.
Madonna saying
safe for your family.
Madonna, of course, saying she wanted to blow up the White House. Right. Is the FBI really going to interview her about that?
There's been reports that the Secret Service is looking into
because she said that. You know, do I believe she really meant it? No, I don't.
No.
No, but at the same time, she said it without a caveat, Ray. She said it without laughing. She said it without – she said – only thing she said, I would like to – I've thought many times about blowing up the White House, but I don't think it would change anything. And that's all she said. In other words, I would do it if it would change something. I'd go over there.
Well, this is exactly the kind of thing that the Secret Service looks into. One would hope they at least made some phone calls to ask her, what did you mean when you said that?
Shake her up a little bit.
That's right.
You know, because you can't get away with saying something like that around the world, and nobody's going to even say anything to you about it. Anyway, it's a new day, folks. There's a lot of good things to talk about with this new administration, and President Trump is. Are you surprised, Ray, at the stamina of a man, both mentally and physically, of a man 70 years old?
They say he sleeps maybe 4 hours a night, mm-hmm. and I believe, I don't know. I don't know too many 70-year-old people, men or women, who can keep up the kind of pace. Because I was thinking about it, he hasn't really. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he hasn't really taken any time off or no significant vacation since he won the election, right? He was going, you know, 80 miles, 100 miles an hour to the election, but it's not like he's been out playing, you know, going to Hawaii and playing golf or anything like that. The guy just keeps going. He's got an amazing metabolism. Mm. Amazing.
Yeah. Most of us can't think of only getting 4 hours of sleep each night, but if you've been doing that for over a decade or longer for Trump, then your body's used to it. So I don't think everyone could do that.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me. I know you know, I'm 53 and I'd be dead if I had to carry out his schedule. I'd either be dead or I'd be saying, "Whoa, just a minute, I'm taking a week off, people."
Right.
You come back to me, you know, tell the Mexican president I'll meet him in Cancun or something. I don't know, but I'm just as Ray said, he's been doing this for a year and a half or 2 years, just almost nonstop every day. And the ability, not only the physical stamina that it takes to be able to pull this off, but also the to keep your mental clarity. You know, you're talking about meeting with people all day, every day, and people are telling you stuff all day, every day. The amount of information intake that you have to be able to process is just enormous. And then the enormity of the issues that you're talking about. You can't afford to make mistakes. So you got to have a good team around you. That's essential, and he does. And you got to have people you trust, and he does have a good team that he trusts. And then for Donald Trump, another asset in this role that he's in is that people would say, well, no, that's not an asset. That's a negative. Is that he doesn't care about what the media thinks. Well, he does care about what the media thinks in the sense that if you malign him, he's going to strike back at you in some way. But I'm just saying he doesn't care about
how he's not worried about.
He's not worried about the, well, now he's president, so he can't for four more years. He can't be voted on, so he cares even less. So that frees him to do things that other politicians would not dare do. And so, as I say, I think that's a net advantage to President Trump. Some people say that's a negative, but it didn't turn out to be in the election. Hey, we've only got a few minutes left. Did you want to play another clip?
Yeah, this is just a little lighthearted thing. You know that it's Oscars season as in Hollywood, and you're going to get a preview here on today's issues. This is a story we're going to be running tomorrow, having a little bit to do with a little fun with Hollywood and a Dinesh movie, Dinesh D'Souza movie that's not nominated, not surprisingly.
Every year, the top five or six Hollywood flicks, as determined by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, gets nominated. This year, those include Hacksaw Ridge, The Arrival, and Hidden Figures. But it's the anti-Oscars, known as the Razzies, that most actors and directors try to avoid.
2016 was so overfull of bad movies that we had to expand every category.
From the usual five contenders to six.
This year, appearing in all the major categories, a film by Dinesh D'Souza.
Imagine how much worse things could get if these two depraved crooks return to the White House.
Our second category is Worst Actor.
And the half dozen hokey He-Men here are
previous Razzie winner Ben Affleck,
Gerard Butler,
Henry Cavill as Superman,
playing the title role in Dirty Grandpa, Robert De Niro.
Playing himself in Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party, Dinesh D'Souza.
Here's the funny thing. I'm nominated as the worst actor, even though, Ainsley, I'm playing myself. Now, how can I be a horrible actor in playing Dinesh? I'm the world's expert at being me.
That's Dinesh boasting a little bit to Fox and Friends. And in case you weren't sure if the decisions were political or not,
let's remember that this movie, Hillary's America, was the top grossing documentary of last year. They're doing it to us because we made a movie that was critical of Hillary and the Democrats.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Great story there, Steve. Dinesh, he's been on our program many times, has a great sense of humor about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are out of time. Ray, thank you for sitting in with us today.
Thanks, Tim.
Steve, appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Walker.
Ray.
Yes, sir.
I haven't even checked. Have you done? You been doing your job?
I've been doing it. Got everything posted on the Today's Issues Facebook page.
Today's Issues page. Check it out. My thanks to Walker for doing that and you for listening to this program. Hey, tomorrow is Trivia Friday. So Learning University will be on the air at 10:05 Central Time in the morning. We'll see you back here then. Have a great day, everybody.